how do you make choices in life? And how do you resolve conflicts in life? So today, we want to learn from the lesson, the story of Abraham and his nephew Lot, to these two questions. Conflicts happened when their land could not accommodate both their livestock. And we saw that Abraham seek peace by giving up his right as the patriarch of the tribes. He could have sent Lot away, you know, I'm the boss, you know, you go to somewhere else. But he gave up this right and offered to let Lot to choose his land of settlement first, and then he would go to the opposite direction. So when given that choice, how did Lot make his choice? We saw from the story that first Lot, he chose by sight and not by faith. As mentioned in the previous week, the part one of my sermon, Lot looked towards the east and saw the plain of the Jordan, well watered, with a constant, reliable supply of water. The place was green, so he chose that. But he failed to realize that, he chose to ignore the place is also close to Sodom and Gomorrah, a place that is well known for its wickedness towards God. He doesn't care. He looked at the land, he said it's good, but he do not care about the spiritual danger. Second, Lot chose for himself, as we saw in verse 11. Lot chose for himself. He is in tune of listening to WIFM. Do you know what this radio station is? WIFM? What's in for me? Lot chose just for himself, as the Bible says. His decision is solely based on self-interest. And in comparison, Abraham, we saw, gave up his right to seek peace and to enrich others, trusting God's promise will provide. And we turn out that God did provide for Abraham. So I think we can learn a lot from Lot and Abraham's example in making choices. When you choose a job, for example, is it strictly based on how much money they pay? Or have you also considered how this job would affect your family, your ministry to the church, and to the community? Many of you know my daughter Winnie moved to the States. And for the past years, she has been full-time mother, taking care of her three children who cannot work. So recently, Winnie says, well, I really should get back to my profession. So we said, go get a part-time job. We think that full-time would be too much for you. So she started applying for jobs in the community in Southern California. And then she got in two interviews. And during the interviews, the employers actually pushed for, you know, the full time, you know. You know, you should work full time, you know. 9 to 6. Winnie says, no, no, I cannot work till 6. The latest close, the daycare would finish would be at 6 o'clock. So if I work till 6 o'clock, I cannot go and pick up the kids. But anyway, the employers push for full time. You know, you make lots of money. You know, a lot of people wants to come in the after 4 o'clock. You know, so anyway, to make a long story short, I don't think Winnie is considering working full time. So one employer says they are going to schedule a working interview with her. I think Winnie already made up her mind that she would not take it. I think in thinking all this, the main reason Winnie think that she have to insist on working part-time is it would be just too much negative effect to the three children. And we saw how the children, especially Joshua, with a bit of the tendency of autism, have benefit with the full-time nurturing of his mother. So we thought that if Winnie give up like working full-time, then Joshua would probably not progressing well. So anyway, how do you choose a job? In the world, motivation to work is to save enough for retirement. You know, everywhere you hear in the world, working is to work towards retirement. You know, Freedom 55 or Freedom 50. And recently I heard Stephen talk about Freedom 40. Maybe thinking of encouraging people who you know, be like the founder of I don't know, Facebook or whatever. You can make it big and then have your freedom, financial freedom. So it seems the world is teaching us that the motivation to work is to save enough for retirement. But in the Bible, it's very strange. Apostle Paul counseled people why people should work. It's so that you can help others people. In Ephesians 4, verses 28, Paul counseled the people that he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Paul was counseling people, oh, of course you should not steal and must work, which is good teaching. But then he's talk about that once you start working, that the purpose is so that you can have something to share with those in need. Christians are called to enrich others. We are not called to live a life that is just for ourselves. So this is the way we make choices. Choices is not just for my own interests. Making choices is not just looking at the surface, what benefits me most. And choices, it's better to make choice by faith and not by sight. And an example is choosing a spouse. Is it based on his or her good looks? Or is it based on their family wealth? So we really have to pray hard to seek God's will, choose by faith and not by sight. And another major reason, how do you resolve conflicts in life? I think this is another major lesson in this story between Abraham and Lot, is the priority of peace between brothers. Abraham seeks peace in the midst of conflict with his nephew Lot. He's willing to give up his rights in order to reconcile with him. Abraham is a peacemaker. And as a peacemaker, they are those who are blessed by Jesus. He says, "For they will be called children of God." As Christians, we are called to give up our rights and prosperity to restore relationship between people. Reconciliation is so important that Jesus said, if you are in the midst of making an offering, making an off gift to the altar, when you think about your brother still has something against you, leave your gift at the altar, go and reconcile with your brother, and then come back. God would not even accept your offering if you still have not resolved making peace with your brothers or sister. So maybe God is calling you to reconcile with your family members now, your spouse, co-workers, or maybe another members of the church. Maybe God is speaking to you today. From this lesson, we learn that peace is not secured by creating the ideal environment. Oh, if I just have this perfect environment, perfect situation, then we will live in peace with one another. It did not happen in the Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden is a perfect environment. Yet sin happened and conflicts abound. Peace can only happen by surrender our hearts and will to God. And then we can create peace. From the story of Abraham and Lot today, we see that this story is actually bracketed by two altars to God. Started off with Abraham building an altar to God, and it ends with Abraham building an altar. The peace Abraham has with God has a lot to do with his ability to have peace with other people. First, we need to have peace with God, and then we can have peace with people. These days, reconciliation and peace are much needed in our society. We see conflicts everywhere. We see conflict in our society, between races, among nations, a lot of conflicts. As Christians, we can start to become peacemakers. We may not be able to change the world in one day, but we can start by doing our shares to be peacemakers among brothers and sisters in the church. And this is what I'm appealing today. By modeling Abraham's example, we can restore relationship by giving up our rights and by practicing generosity. You see, a lot of conflicts is because everybody stick to their own interests and their own opinions. So how does this look in our church? In our church, we have three language group. We have the English-speaking congregation, Mandarin-speaking, and the Cantonese-speaking. Today, most of the Mandarin congregation went on camping. So we certainly see a significant reduction of people and also the children. But you see, in between the language group, we have our own needs. We have our own resources. Sometimes in our church, we talk about, the taking care of the children should be, most of their children are from Mandarin congregation. A few years ago, we were talking about the Mandarin people should take care of their own children. I feel now maybe the trend is changed slightly, or maybe they're English congregation. But you see, they are talking about all these interests. And then the Cantonese congregation was talk about, we have served children long enough, and we don't want to serve them. So it's when we are just talking about, our own interests, we are not seeking peace. We are not serving one another. Abraham gave up his right to serve one another, to let his nephew, to enrich him. How can we give up our rights to serve the other congregation? And in a church, we always have different issues and difference in opinions, right? So whenever we have different in opinions and issues, preferences, how do we resolve them? It could be whether certain room should have carpet or should have tiles. Or we should maybe pick on the color. This is beige. Maybe it should be green. Or maybe we can have difference in opinions in terms of worship music style. In a lot of churches, church broke up because of whether they should have drums in worship. The apostles, Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. So in other words, can we look at others' opinion better than yourselves? Just think in terms of their position. And also, not only to your own interests, and also the interests of others. So the teaching of Paul in Philippians 2 is consistent with Abraham's example today. The Bible has many, many teachings on peacemaking and peace-seeking. Let me quote two more examples. If you turn to Hebrew chapter 12, Hebrew chapter 12, verse 14. It says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and women and to be holy. It encourages us, you know, making peace is not easy. So you have to make effort. Make every effort. And then in James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. James 3, chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. So peacemaking and reconciliation is very important in the Bible. And it's so central to God's character that Paul often called God the God of peace. The God of peace. When we look at Jesus Christ, who gave up his right as God to come and save us from sin and to destroy the war of hostility, how dare can we not try to our best to reconcile with our brothers and sisters? How can we still hold a grudge? So, recently I heard stories among our members have difficulties with co-workers, with family members. So I pray that we can live out and seek peace and reconcile by the wisdom, by the supernatural strength that God gives us. May God guide you in what you should do. Let us pray. Dear Lord, it is so easy to ask people to give in, to change for us. But yet, Lord, you have set many teachings and examples that we should relinquish ourselves for the sake of others, to follow your example, to follow the example of Abraham today. So help us and give us this supernatural strength and power to seek peace and to reconcile. May your beauty is reflected in our lives. Make us children of peace. For we prayed all this in Jesus' name.